Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. On a one-day pastoral trip to San Marino Montefeltro, Pope Benedict XVI appealed to world leaders and people of goodwill to welcome and respect the dignity of refugees. The World Day to Combat Desertification shines the light on the increasing dangers of desertification, land degradation, and drought for the international community. And a film festival in Portugal provides a showcase for countries who produce less than 30 features a year. On a one-day pastoral trip to San Marino Montefeltro, Pope Benedict XVI appealed to world leaders and people of goodwill to welcome and respect the dignity of refugees. His appeal came on Sunday during an event-packed apostolic journey within Italy, as Emma McCarthy reports.
The one-day, two-state visit concluded with a prayer meeting with some 4,000 young people in the town of Penabili on the eastern side of the Italian Apennines. There, before the diocesan cathedral, Pope Benedict told the young people that they are the hope of the region.
Cari giovani, sono molto contento di essere oggi in mezzo a voi e con voi.
One young man greeted the Pope by putting a question to him, asking Pope Benedict how young people today can escape from the vicious circle that is the pursuit of personal pleasure. Pope Benedict replied that human experience is a reality that binds us together, but it can be given different levels of meaning. This is where you decide how to direct your lives and choose who to entrust it to, who to entrust yourselves to, he said. The Holy Father urged the young people not to be afraid to face difficult situations, moments of crisis, life's trials, but always remember that the Lord is with them. And he appealed to the young people not to allow scientific data and technological tools to substitute the world of life and the richness of relationships of friendship and love, but rather to allow themselves be illuminated by the mystery of Christ. Earlier in the day, Pope Benedict had visited the Republic of San Marino, which claims to be the oldest surviving sovereign state and constitutional republic in the world. Alongside Vatican City-State and the Principality of Monaco, it is also one of Europe's smallest states, covering just 61 square kilometres.
Anche nella Repubblica di San Marino, l'attuale situazione di crisi.
There, in the historic San Marino fortress that rises from Mount Titan, Pope Benedict asked local authorities to give greater support and recognition to families. He warned against attempts to undermine the fundamental value of the institution of the family, which he says marginalizes young generations in society's weakest. The family alone, he told authorities, can nurture mature and responsible people with deep and perennial values. The Holy Father also encouraged the San Marino community in the current economic crisis, expressing his concern for those workers who have seen their labour rights undermined by the precarious nature of today's jobs market.
Cari fratelli e sorelle.
Earlier at midday, in comments before the Angelus prayer, Pope Benedict had appealed to governments and people of goodwill to welcome and respect the dignity of refugees.
Domani ricorre la giornata mondiale del rifugiato.
On the eve of the United Nations-sponsored World Day for Refugees, the Pope urged the international community to guarantee dignified living conditions to refugees until they can safely and freely return to their homeland. His appeal came at the end of Mass to celebrate the solemnity of Trinity Sunday, which the Pope described in off-the-cuff remarks during his homily as God's feast day.
Dio e Figlio Spirito Santo, festa di Dio.
25,000 people had gathered in the small sports stadium of Serravalle at the foot of the towering rock home to the San Marino fortress to greet Pope Benedict. Once again, the family and young people had a special mention in the Holy Father's homily. The Pope spoke of the many families in crisis, a crisis, he said, that was compounded by the widespread psychological and spiritual fragility of spouses, as well as the fatigue experienced by many educators in their attempts to ensure continuity in the formation of young people.
Oggi la vostra missione si trova a dover confrontarsi.
Pope Benedict recalled the ancient Christian roots of the people of San Marino and said that today their mission is to deal with profound and rapid cultural, social, economic and political transformations, which he said have determined new reference points and changed attitudes. Pope Benedict also said the temptation has crept in to believe that the wealth of man is not his faith, but his personal and social power. And to this end, the Pope concluded with a call to the faithful of the diocese to be like leaven in society, showing in both Montefeltro and San Marino that you are present, proactive and consistent Christians.
Grazie.
I'm Emma McCarthy.
Thanks there to Emma McCarthy for that report. The World Day to Combat Desertification is observed each year on June the 17th all over the world. The aim of this United Nations designated day is to sensitise the public and policymakers to the increasing dangers of desertification, land degradation and drought for the international community. The theme this year, 2011 being the International Year on Forests, focuses specifically on the forests in the drylands areas of the world, guided by the motto, Forests Keep Drylands Working. I spoke to FAO's Caterina Battello, team leader in the Crop Productions and Protection Division, and technical expert in the area of climate change and grasslands and rangeland rehabilitation, about this important annual observance.
The purpose is to remind people and the whole world that desertification is advancing because of many reasons: bad management practices of the land, encroaching of industry, of housing. And what is happening is not only the land is degrading and therefore losing productivity, but when you have degraded land, it's a situation where you easily get more storms, more pollution for the cities who live close to desertified areas, less water retention capacity. So the consequences direct on the human health are obvious and very severe.
If I understand correctly, deserts are part of our ecosystem, are part of the biodiversity of our world. But when we speak of desertification, we're speaking of land that is being degraded. Is that right?
This is correct. Absolutely. So it's not saying that deserts are affecting humanity or deserts are increasing, but we are discussing about the bad anthropogenic practices that create increasingly desertification on land which was not desertified before.
We think of land degradation of something that affects others, you know, people who live in developing countries maybe, or who live in climates which are particularly affected. But it really affects everyone, doesn't it?
It does. I would like to speak about the case, for example, of Italy. There is just a recent publication called Desertificazione and Degrado del Suolo, which shows how much desertification is also affecting countries of Southern Europe like Italy, Spain, Greece, to name some of them.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this? What exactly are these effects?
Those effects are a loss of productivity of soils. So in the next 20 years, we expect a lower production capacity of those soils in terms of agriculture production. But a secondary effect, which is even worse for a situation like Italy and Spain, is the loss of capacity of those soils to retain water. So in the next 20 years, you will have more runoff from those soils. So the water will not be retained in the soils, and you might have more floods subsequent to any rainfall because the soils cannot retain the water. And on the long term, you will have less water available for drinking and for agriculture production.
So you're saying that when we see natural disasters such as flooding, killing people, or mountains coming down, they could be caused by desertification?
They could be one of the effects of desertification. Of course, it depends where you are, but definitely this is a consequence of bad land management and degradation of the soils.
I see that every year there is a particular theme that is chosen, and this year it's forests keep dry lands working. And this year is the year of forests, if I'm not mistaken. What does this theme want to highlight?
We want to say that normally you look at a land, you look at the above ground vegetation. So people perceive what is above the soils, houses, roads, trees, cultivations. For one day, we would like people to think what is below the ground in terms of roots, in terms of microorganisms, soil elements. Go below the soils. See how the effects of the root can contribute to maintain a system in good health. Think about that the root of a tree, which are perennials, can avoid degradation because they physically retain the soil. They avoid erosion. They physically improve the structure of the soil because they leave air and water to go through the soil. So for one day, think of a journey, go below the ground and imagine the effect of a good root system, of a good tree that fights desertifications and contributes to maintain a good landscape and a good soil health.
Ah, that's very beautiful. So let's plant more trees, right?
Let's plant more trees, but avoid planting one type of tree. So let's think of biodiversity. And let us also think that you have to plant more trees in a landscape approach. So reinforce also the landscape planning capacity of the countries so that you think of trees where trees are necessary, and then you combine the effect of trees with some land for agriculture, some land for housing, and some land for recreation. So think of where you plant your trees and how the trees can contribute to maintain your whole landscape in good health.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
Yes, please. I would like to add a positive message. Desertification sounds terrible. Desertification means lack of life. This is not true. Those big areas of land which are under desertification have also tremendous potential of catching solar energy. So we should think a little bit more what is the potential of the land to catch solar and renewable energy. Once more, think that land can have many, many functions, and by using and promoting all those different functions in harmony, we maintain a good land condition and soil health.
That was Caterina Battello, team leader in the Crop Productions and Protection Division at the UN Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome.
The Fistroia Festival Internacional de Cinema de Troia is an annual film festival that takes place in the beautiful coastal resort town of Setúbal in Portugal. The festival, the country's oldest and most prestigious, is known as the Cannes of Portugal and showcases international talents from around the world with competition sections, special events, and a programme of new works from emerging independent filmmakers. The festival, which was founded in 1985,
has a competitive section that is open to films from countries producing less than 30 features per year. The festival produces an award ceremony every year in the first week of June, the main award being the Golden Dolphin. Film critic and journalist Alan Fual presided over the Cygnus jury at this year's Vestroia festival that ended last week. Cygnus is officially recognised as the World Catholic Association for Communication. Its members are always present at major film festivals and award a special Cygnus Prize to films with outstanding values. We asked Mr. Fual, what trend does he see emerging in the production of the smaller European countries that really only produce about 30 films per year?
With some of them, we can see that people are still trying to come to terms with all the political difficulties and the conflicts of the 1990s. That's very clear. And several of the films which we've seen are like mosaics. One of the directors used the term mosaic. They contain several stories which the director is trying to weave together, perhaps because the experience of people in these countries is too complex just to have one story. They need to have different perspectives, different characters, different experiences. But alongside that, we also have story elements which we can easily recognise as being similar to our own experience. These are human stories about relationships, marriage, ageing, difficulties at work, all kinds of personal experiences which are universal, really. So the films from the Balkans are a very interesting mixture of the universal and the particular. In the case of other countries, we have the opportunity to... Now, in Mama Gogo, which is set in Iceland, we have different elements where the film director is trying to preserve something of the culture of the past, the traditional culture of his parents and other generations. But he's also very conscious that other parts of Icelandic society have been changing. The film refers to all the political and financial difficulties in Iceland, which we're now very familiar with. And so he's using a variety of images, the modern, the traditional, the city, the countryside, the sea, the elements of nature, which are very important in his film. So that's a good example of something where we start to learn more about a culture of which probably the English, the French, and so on know very little, really. We just are familiar with the headlines in the newspapers from the last year or two.
In this film, Mama Gogo, the director tells of his painful personal journey, experiencing his mother's disappearance into Alzheimer. And generally, he noted, there seems to be a tendency to highlight the issue of illness.
Yes, illness, ageing, death and issues to do with that are very clearly prominent. It's interesting in Mama Gogo that the director is trying to explore the cultures within which different generations live. He's clearly conscious that aspects of traditional Icelandic culture are being forgotten, and he wants to remind people of them and show how important they are for certain generations. With the Danish film that we saw, it was interesting again to look at different generations. We had three women of different generations all trying to work out their relationships, trying to deal with certain pressures in modern society which often disrupt traditional family patterns. So in this film we have a young girl, a teenage girl, who is under great pressure to grow up too fast. But her mother, in some ways, is also a child, and she has difficulties in her relationship with her own mother. So there are interesting parallels between characters and different ways in which we see social issues, social pressures emerging through these three generations.
Thinking back to Mama Gogo, Alan Fual says, the film provides a forceful portrait of the disease, but it also goes beyond that particular issue.
This is a particularly tragic example where people lose their personality. They disintegrate in a way, and we have difficulty recognising the people what we used to love. Similar issues come up in other films in the competition, but not in quite such a a direct and strong way. But this is clearly an increasing problem in society. As people live longer, they suffer new diseases. When we died younger, we were not affected by certain complaints. So this is very much an issue of our time. And it comes up in the winning film, The Little Room, where Edmond, the older man, is not suffering from Alzheimer's, but he is getting forgetful. He has some of the early symptoms of these difficulties. And it's difficult both for the sufferer and for the people who are trying to care for them, for the family, for friends. So this is one way in which the festival and its films clearly reflecting major issues in our society.
The festival this year also dedicated a section to Turkey with its own particular brand of film production.
Turkish cinema has been very successful for a long time in Turkey. It's produced a large number of comedies and other popular genre films, but it's not been very well known outside Turkey. In the 1970s, the 1980s, just a small number of serious dramas were distributed abroad, went to festivals, they went to art house cinemas and independent cinemas. But we really knew very little about Turkish cinema as a whole. In the 1980s, 1990s, Turkey also suffered a lot of political turmoil, military dictatorship, and this was also a constraint on the cinema. But in the last 10 years, Turkish cinema has had a resurgence with increased production, increased market share, new opportunities for directors, and more of their films are getting shown abroad. They have a big export market in Germany, which has a large Turkish population, and they are also managing to export to other countries of Eastern Europe.
As I said right at the beginning, Alan Fual was at Festroya to preside over the Cygnus jury and, of course, to choose the Cygnus favourites and hand over the awards.
We decided to give a commendation to a short film called Weirdo from France. And we liked this film because it was very short and it used cinematic means in a very imaginative way. The themes of the film are appearances, conformity, difference, identity, questions like that. And it works in a very suggestive way. It tells a very simple story of one individual who looks different, how other people react to him. But then there's a change, and suddenly people's reactions are more positive. But it used a great economy of means. It told a classic short story very effectively.
5 minutes.
Yes, just 5 minutes. And you could make a 90-minute film out of similar material. Many people have made much longer films on those themes, which were much less effective. So we enjoyed that very much, and we thought it showed enormous skill, enormous talent. We chose The Little Room for the Cygnus Prize in the official section, and this film has just two people at the centre, a young nurse who has recently lost a baby, and an old man who is going to lose his home and perhaps is losing his mind. He also has to come to terms with ageing and death. And this relationship develops in a very subtle way so that these two very different people can help each other in certain ways to deal with traumatic events that they've suffered. And around these two people, we have the rest of their families and friends and a variety of relationships which affect them. And the film is, in many ways, a traditional sort of story. It's not really an experimental film, but again, it shows great skill in handling narrative, in establishing and developing characters and revealing motivation. And these things give us a particularly subtle picture of the emotional problems that these people are trying to deal with. So it was, in the round, a very well-made film, a traditional film in some ways, but again dealing with issues which are part of modern society, which we all recognise in friends of ours or perhaps our family members.
And how easy was it to come to an agreement regarding the winners?
Many of the films in the official selection had interesting qualities and they gave us a lot to think about. We thought that some of the more experimental films had great power in some of their scenes, but they didn't always manage to bring everything together and to use the potential of their material to the fullest effect. In the end, we chose a relatively conventional film because we believed that that combined the two things which our jury is looking for. We are looking for films of high artistic quality with creativity and imagination and artistic discipline. And we are also interested in films which are concerned with Christian life in action, if you like. So questions to do with human relations, human dignity, the big human themes, the different seasons of life, if you like. Other criteria which concern us are the interest in different cultures, respect for other people and for other cultures. So there were many different reasons to consider films. But in the end, we felt that The Little Room reflected our criteria to the fullest.
As a veteran expert in films and filmmaking, we asked Alan Fowell if he thinks international cinema is undergoing a crisis.
I think that there is a crisis of a type. These days, many, perhaps most films, are made using digital equipment. And new technologies, new equipment, have become much, much cheaper in recent years. So it's very easy for people to get a camera, film some material, and edit it on your personal computer at home. Many young people do this. So people are producing more and more and more films. Then you have the problem, how do you get other people to see them? How can you distribute them? When there are so many films, how can you even make sure that they have an opportunity to get into festivals? So there is no shortage of quantity, but we don't exactly have the means for all these things to be seen. And also, the quantity is not necessarily the same as the quality. And certainly people who are working in programming for festivals have said to me that we spend more and more time looking at films to try and choose things for the festivals, but we don't get more films of real quality. We just get more films which reveal some potential in the filmmakers or which have interesting themes which could be explored more effectively. And somehow we need to find ways of helping people to develop their talents more so that more of these films which people are making cheaply with their friends and on a semi-professional basis can just raise their level a bit so that they deserve more widespread, more public showing.
That's all from the English feature programme today and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.